From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Democratic lawmakers, Representative Lloyd Doggett and Senator Sheldon Whitehouse introduced a new bill in Congress this week to address what officials from both major parties always claim they want to do something about: the offshoring of corporate profits in overseas tax havens. The recently passed GOP-sponsored tax reform law actually increased incentives for corporations to continue their practice of hiding profits offshore. Now, this newly introduced No Tax Breaks for Outsourcing Act aims to fix that part of the tax reform law by equalizing the domestic and offshore tax rates. My guest is Richard Phillips, Senior Policy Analyst at the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy. Welcome to the program, Richard.
I'm glad to be here.
So first explain how it is that the tax reform bill that is now law, passed by the Republicans with Trump support last year, actually increased incentives, even though, of course, Trump and the Republicans have said that is a practice that they want to do something about. It was such a complex bill, I suppose it didn't receive as much attention, that it was actually increasing incentives to continue offshoring.
Sure. So under our past tax system, companies at least theoretically had to pay the full 35% rate on their offshore earnings. And although it did have a big loophole, which we always had a problem with, called deferral, which allowed companies to avoid paying taxes as long as they technically held it offshore. And so that system was already pretty bad. But under the new system, what happens is companies, although they can't hold it offshore all the time, but they do get to pay a dramatically lower rate. So in the United States, the new corporate tax rate is 21%. But if you actually have your profits offshore, and either if you just shift them offshore or if you actually move real operations offshore, you pay either about 0% or about 10.5%. And the way it works is you get two big tax breaks. The first tax break is you get a 10% deduction for how much tangible assets you have offshore. So if you're a company and you have $100 million worth of factories offshore, then you don't have to pay a dime in taxes on the first $10 million worth of earnings you have offshore. And then if you earn more than that kind of minimum amount, then you pay just half the rate, 10.5% on everything else. So for any company looking to decide where to put a factory, this is a huge tax incentive to move it offshore.
So what Republicans could have done if they actually wanted to address this is simply close the loophole that corporations were using to avoid that original 35% tax rate. They could have still lowered the overall tax rate here to 21. That is a separate issue that, you know, a lot of people have a problem with a 21% tax rate, but they could have simply closed the loophole that was being used to offshore money and left it at that. Instead, they, in a way, widened the loophole by just creating more incentives.
Yes, absolutely. And when we actually looked at the overall tax system, what we found is that, it, you know, there had been kind of $100 billion on average being lost to international tax avoidance a year. And rather than making the problem better, they actually made it about $14 billion worse over 10 years.
Wow.
So as
that's
bad
a projected
as our system was,
that's a projected yeah. amount that that our treasury loses if things stand as they are.
Yeah, and that's on top of the already really bad system. So they made a $100 billion problem $14 billion worse.
Wow. I like the way you put that. All right. So we have a couple of Democrats that have said, let's actually do something about this. The tax reform bill is passed. It's law. But what if we address just this aspect of it? Tell us about the No Tax Breaks for Outsourcing Act that Representative Lloyd Doggett of Texas and Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, a Democrat from Rhode Island, would have introduced.
Sure. There's a lot of complexity around international taxes and a lot of the specific details kind of get complicated. But the basic premise of the bill is that if a company makes profits offshore or if it makes profits in the United States, it should pay the same rate. So if they move a factory offshore, ultimately it should pay a 21% rate. If they build it in the US, they should pay a 21% rate. And this just equalizes it and in effect gets rid of the special tax breaks for moving money offshore. And I think we're very excited about this because this is two members of the tax writing committees in both the Senate and the House proposing what we really see as a big comprehensive solution to offshore tax avoidance.
Wow. So let's talk about who is backing this bill and whether it has any hope of actually gaining support. I mean, this is, I suppose, why we're having you on our program to raise awareness of this, because we could simply hold lawmakers to their stated goals that they have gone on record many times from both parties saying they want to do something about this. All right, they could simply back this bill, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the very kind of idiosyncratic things about Donald Trump is very early in the campaign when he put out his first tax plan, which, just to be clear, everything else about the tax plan was really bad. But one of the things was he actually had a similar provision that said that companies should pay the same rate domestically as they do on their offshore money. And that actually eventually got stripped from the bill. But the reason he was in there was because it doesn't really make sense to lawmakers, especially lawmakers who have spent so much time talking about the outsourcing of jobs and all this international tax avoidance. It makes no sense to create a system where they have a lower rate offshore. So our hope is that we're actually going to get at least a broad spectrum of Democrats on it, and it's already gotten not only Representative Doggett and some more progressive members like Representative DeLauro, but it's also got a more moderate member like Representative Tim Ryan and some others. So our hope is that this is the kind of bill that both moderates and more liberal Democrats can get behind, because it's kind of solving a problem everyone should be concerned with.
And essentially, it's based on an idea that Trump himself put in his original outline for how to reform the tax code. So, why aren't all Democrats behind this? You would think the entire party should be united behind this.
Well, I mean, I think that we'll see how it goes. I mean, so the bill was just released on Tuesday. And it started with 25 co-sponsors in the House, and just the one sponsor in the Senate. I'm excited to see how in the coming months how many more Democrats get behind it. And I think already this idea is gaining a lot more traction than it has in the past. I think in the past this idea was sort of seen, although Trump embraced it, it was sort of seen as more of the Bernie Sanders kind of position, that only sort of the very like liberal members would support it, even though it had some kind of bipartisan support in the past. Whereas I'm really excited to see that many more members and many different types of members are actually getting behind it already. So I think it will actually gain a good amount of traction among a lot of Democrats.
Now, of course, a big part of the problem for our country with our lawmakers generally being reluctant to hold corporations accountable is that they themselves are personally tied in with so many of these corporate practices. There was an Intercept article recently that found by Lei Fong that found a global shipping business tied to Mitch McConnell and Secretary of Transportation Elaine Chao is shrouded in an offshore tax haven. How, as far as you can tell, how deeply involved are, members of Congress, and in this case, the Senate Majority Leader, to, how are they personally invested in continuing corporate offshoring of profits?
I think one of the things that I've always been struck by in this debate on this issue is the fact that if you ask most members of the public, Republican, Democrat, they universally think that corporations aren't paying enough in taxes and really support massively increasing taxes. If you did the same poll of just members of Congress and people in Washington, they're very much think that, or at least up until now, that corporations were paying way too much and that they were really getting just, hammered. And I think that disconnect kind of shows that really a lot of politicians and a lot of people in Washington have been kind of captured by this corporate consensus, which says, well, the solution to all our economic problems is corporate tax cuts. In terms of like how many of the congressmen are kind of personally involved, it's hard to know, and I haven't followed like, well, how much are they individually
Right.
profiting? But I've always just been more concerned with just this broad consensus, even among many many Democrats who you'd expect more of, that they just seem to really buy into the corporate line that corporations are paying too much and we need to cut their taxes.
It's interesting with the new corporate tax rate here in the US so low. I'm wondering if the US itself is going to start turning into a major offshore tax haven for corporations from other countries.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that our rate is extremely low, and I was struck there was an overall analysis of it that said that basically the effective tax rate for many corporations isn't going to be even 21%. It's going to be closer to 10% or 9%, which is extremely low. So I think,
Because why? Because of loopholes
well,
and
because,
and tricks,
yeah,
accounting
exactly.
tricks.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, although the tax reform bill did kind of cut a few of the corporate tax breaks to help pay for the rate cut, it didn't really get rid of all of them. It actually opened, in addition to the offshore loopholes that it opened, it also increased this thing called expensing really large. So it actually really didn't do that much on cutting the tax breaks. So with the rate cut and also maintaining the tax breaks, their effective rates are going to be closer to 9-10%. And so yeah, I think that the US is going to be a major tax haven. And on the issue you were kind of mentioning before about people having these sort of offshore companies or sort of hiding their assets, the United States already is one of the biggest tax havens in the world in terms of secrecy and in terms of hiding different things offshore. There was actually a report by the Tax Justice Network that found that the US is the second most significant financial secrecy jurisdiction in the world.
That means that the US essentially offers itself up to foreign corporations as a place to hide their money from the countries that they are based in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. I understand that one other aspect of the Doggett White House bill, the No Tax Breaks for Outsourcing Act, also addresses a loophole or a loophole for oil and gas corporations. And I'm wondering if you can address that currently there's a tax break that foreign oil and gas corporations can claim, which of course doesn't help in our fight for climate, fight against climate change.
Absolutely. And this to me, when I was going through the long bill and reading all the different details, was one of the just most surprising and galling pieces in the bill. Is basically all corporations are they get the tax break I was explaining on how based on how much of the assets they get. And then they are supposed to pay, even though it's a half rate, they're supposed to pay about 10.5% on all their other income. And there's this special big exemption that says, well, if you're an extractive company, oil and gas and other extractives, you don't even have to pay the 10.5%. You just pay 0% on your offshore income. And so that's the tax break. And this bill
This so
correctly.
the GOP tax reform law
Yeah.
basically said 0% tax rate for offshore profits of oil and gas companies.
Yeah, that's what it does.
Wow. So the new bill to address that would eliminate that.
Yeah, I would eliminate the exception and require that they pay the same rate, the 21% in the US and abroad.
And of course, major oil and gas corporations are some of the biggest corporations in the world. I mean, they don't even need more incentive to continue the extraction that they're doing and jeopardizing our planet.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
So when we talk about how much money, usually bills that are introduced into Congress, members of Congress that introduce them have to make a case for the cost of the bill. Well, how much is this going to cost taxpayers? It seems, and of course, that was a big issue with the tax reform bill that the GOP pushed through last year. And we know it's going to cost our Treasury so much. In the case of this new bill that's aiming to close the or reduce incentives for offshoring of tax profits, it sounds like this bill is going to bring in plenty of money into the US Treasury, into the United States. Any sense of how much money it would bring in, and won't that or shouldn't that be a huge reason to support it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we haven't got an exact estimate that we can share publicly yet. We're still kind of crunching the numbers, and there hasn't been an official estimate by the Joint Committee on Taxation. But this would definitely raise hundreds of billions of dollars that could be used for any number of things. It could be used to help, like, pay back for the fact that we had such a massive tax cut that was unaffordable. It could be used to fund any kind of infrastructure, education, healthcare, or any other of the many priorities that we have. So yeah, it would hundreds of billions of dollars is what it would raise.
So essentially, any of those social programs that lawmakers constantly tell us there isn't enough money for could easily be remedied with the money that this bill would generate. But of course, corporations and the money that they make are often seen as sacrosanct. Now, one of the bases for reducing the corporate tax rate here inside the country is the trickle-down theory, this idea that if corporations simply are able to accrue enough money, they will let a few crumbs slip down to the rest of us, and we as a whole will become rich because supposedly it's better to do it that way than just directly putting money into the pockets of individual people. How do they make the justification for the continued offshoring of corporate profits, even based on their trickle-down theory? It doesn't work.
I think it is the basic concept that, yeah, that corporations should pay lower taxes so that they then pass it down to their workers or pass it down the economy. I think the kind of unique argument that they try to make is they try to say, oh, well, other multinationals or other countries have low rates, so the U.S. should also have a lower rate to help our corporations battle. So the idea would be, well, we need to have a really low rate for Boeing or Lockheed Martin because Airbus or other multinational airplane makers all have a very low rate. So we need to be able to compete. I mean, I think that argument has two really big flaws on it. First, U.S. corporations already, even before the tax bill was passed, had about an average effective tax rate compared to other countries. We were right kind of in the middle for our corporations. And also, it's hard to say that our corporations weren't particularly competitive, being that they're the wealthiest, largest corporations
right.
in the world. And then I think the other flaw with it is that it kind of creates this mentality of, well, if we cut our rate, well, then Ireland will cut their rate, and then Europe will cut their rate, and China will cut their rate. And then once they all cut their rate again, we'll have to cut it again and again. And it really perpetuates this race to the bottom. And it's actually been exciting the last few years is the European Union and the OECD countries have sort of tried to put a stop to this race to the bottom and kind of work together to sort of crack down on offshore tax avoidance. And the U.S. has kind of, with the tax bill, undermined all of that.
So essentially, the end goal, of course, is for corporations to pay zero taxes anywhere, right? Richard, are you hopeful that organizations, activists, groups who want to see corporations not steal money from us will get behind this bill? Are you hoping that there's going to be a big grassroots push to get lawmakers to sign on to this? You know, it always seems like it's pie in the sky to discuss bills like this that just could, you know, could just disappear and not get to see the light of day. But it all depends on how hard it's being pushed by ordinary Americans, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I hope everyone out there works and calls the congressman and gets them on the bill. And I've been working on this the last couple of weeks. And one of the jobs I've been doing is getting different groups and grassroots groups to endorse it. And I've been really excited to see that you have all the major labor unions, the FL-CIO, AFSCME, and many others endorsing it. You have groups like MoveOn.org, Coalition on Human Needs, my group, the Institute of Taxation and Economic Policy, and many others sort of getting behind this bill and pushing forward. And we've only been working on it a couple of weeks. Is my sense is you'll get more and more and more groups behind it, and that this will become the Democratic bill and the position that Democrats are expected to take on these issues. And that's kind of, I think, part of our goal in pushing the bill and getting it out there is you know, for years Republicans said, oh, well, we're going to repeal and replace, but they never really had an alternative. And I think that what we're hoping for is to actually put out real strong progressive tax alternatives to show what real tax reform looks like rather than sort of what was in the bill we just passed.
Give out a website, Richard, where people can read the analysis by your organization on this bill.
Sure. So our website is www.itep, that's itep.org. And I have a blog that explains the bill and also I think does a good job of explaining the changes in the international tax system and what the bill does to fix them.
ITEP.org is the website. We'll post a link to that from our site later today. Thanks as always for joining us, Richard.
All right, thank you so much.
Richard Phillips is Senior Policy Analyst at the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy. We've been discussing the No Tax Breaks for Outsourcing Act, just introduced by two Democratic lawmakers. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.